right, you can be seated. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up this morning to Proverbs chapter 3. Amen. And I'm going to start reading with verse 1. Verse 1 says, "My son, forget not the law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." So according to the word of God so far, if we don't forget his word, and if we commit our hearts to keeping it, the word of God will provide for us length of days, long life, and peace. Now, verse 3 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tables of your heart." The Amplified Bible for verse 3 says, "Let not mercy and kindness." It says, "Shut out all hatred and selfishness." So that is a command to us. Now, we're talking about those who want to enjoy the long life, the length of days, and the peace. It says, "Shut out all hatred and selfishness." So let mercy and kindness shut that out. And let truth shut out all deliberate hypocrisy and falsehood. So there's a couple of things here that the scriptures is telling us to do here. If we're going to walk in the things of God and enjoy the life that God says belong to us, we're going to have to let the word of God, first of all, rest in our heart. Then we're going to have to also let his mercy, which is his love, and his kindness shut out all hatred and selfishness. And then we're going to have to let the truth of the word of God get rid of all deliberate hypocrisy in our lives and all falsehood. Then it goes on and says, bind them. Bind what? The word about your neck, and write it up on the tables of your heart. Now, verse 4 says, "So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart." It didn't say with some of your heart or with the things that you don't think that you can handle. It says with everything. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. All of your life matters. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. All right. So we're dealing with following the leading of the Spirit of God. Well, God just promised us right here that if we'll trust him with our hearts, then he will direct our paths. All right. So I'm believing that God is going to direct my path as I trust in him. As I put confidence in the things that he is saying to me, as I put confidence into what he's showing me and the places that he's leading me. And you should do the same thing. Now, we've been over a lot of things, and we've talked about a lot of different aspects of being led by the Spirit of God. And on Tuesday, we looked at a particular point in the Word of God that I think is important enough to go back and look at some things and bring up some things before we move on. And so turn to the book of Judges. Now, you're going to have to trust God. We're going to have to learn how to trust God. And that's not something that you just automatically say, "Oh, I trust God." And that's the end of it. I mean, you start there, but then you're going to have to start putting actions to what you're saying you're doing. You're going to have to start having confidence and start listening and start doing the things that God is leading you to do. I mean, there's no need of you saying that. That'd be like me saying, "I trust Sister Moye and I don't believe anything she say." Then I don't trust her. So you can't say you trust the Lord, you don't believe anything that he says, and you don't do anything he tells you to do. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't listen to anything I tell you to do?" In other words, I'm not your Lord. You're your own Lord in most cases. Now, we're going to look at a few things that we looked at here on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, we looked at where the concept of fleecing came from. Now, before I get into this, let me just give you the definition of what we're talking about. Fleecings are putting out fleeces or asking God to give you some outward manifestation, some outward sign for you to believe him instead of just obeying and trusting the leadings of the Spirit of God that's going on inside of you. That's like you saying, well, Lord, if you want me to do this, then let this happen. Or, Lord, if you want me to go in there, open up the door for me. Or if you don't want me to go, well, shut this door for me. You have to have something out here before you can go in the direction that God is asking you or leading you to go. And that is the concept that the Bible calls fleecing. Now, where did it come from? Let's look here. It came from this particular story we're getting ready to read here in Judges. And it is famous, made to be famous by a man named Gideon. Now, Israel's in trouble. They've disobeyed God, and now they're living in caves, and they're hiding, and there are several nations that comes against them, and when they grow fields, those nations come and steal all their stuff. When they raise flocks, the nations come and steal all their flocks, and so Israel's just basically hiding out, living in caves. So we pick this up here around the story about a man named Gideon, who's hiding out in the wine press. Now, if you understand what a wine press is, it's like a big thing that's in the ground. So he's down the inside of it by hand threshing his crop so that the Midianites don't see him and come steal the stuff. So he's hiding there. And so the Bible says that an angel of the Lord shows up right there near the wine press and speaks to Gideon, calls him a mighty man of valor, calls him a strong warrior. Now notice the angel of the Lord is calling Gideon something that Gideon doesn't believe that he is, because Gideon's response to the angel and the command of the angel, he told the angel, he says, look, I'm from the poorest tribe in our group. And not only that, my father's house is the poorest house in the tribe. And not only that, I am the least in my father's house. So he really, really had a bad mindset of who he was and what the nation of Israel was supposed to be. He really, really was down himself, because he goes on and tells the angels, well, if God is so good, where is all of his mercies and favors and kindness that our forefathers knew of? So the angel's trying to convince him that God sees you differently than you see yourself. Now, this is going to be important to where fleecing is concerned, because I'm convinced that people do that because they don't believe who God says they are. Therefore, you don't believe the things that God says that he has for you. So you got to have something else to prove to you that God is who he is and he's going to do for you what he says he's going to do. So the story goes on here, and Gideon says, well, you can read some of this for yourself, because I don't have time to read all of it. He says, if I'm going to truly do what God says I'm going to do, what you're telling me the Lord says I'm going to do, then show me some signs. That's basically what he said to him. So now we're going to pick this up here and start reading with verse 36 in chapter 6. And in verse 36, here are some signs that Gideon wanted. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as you've said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, or in other words, in the morning when I get up, if the dew is on the fleece only, and it be dry up on all the earth beside it, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece and a bowl full of water. So he filled up a whole bowl of water with this piece of wool that he lay on the ground. Now, remember, he told the Lord, if this is what I'm supposed to do, give me a sign, and let the sign be, I'm going to put a fleece of wool on this ground here. And in the morning when I wake up, you let this fleece of wool be soaking wet and all the ground around it be dry. So when he woke up the next morning, it was like what he asked God to do for the outward sign. Verse 39, and Gideon said unto the Lord, let not thy anger be hot against me, and I will speak but once more. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this one once with this fleece, let it now be dry up on the fleece, and let the ground around it be wet. Now notice here, here's the fleece that he's put up. Here's the sign. Here's the proof that he needs to do what God says do. One day he says, I want the fleece wet and the ground dry. And so it was. The next day he says, now I want the ground wet and the fleece dry. And so it was. So he needed all these signs before he could believe God was going to do what he said he was going to do through him. Now, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 said that there was a time that God winked at this kind of ignorance. Now, why did God allow this to be done in the Old Testament? There's one main reason. In the Old Testament, there were no born again believers. The Spirit of God did not dwell on the inside of anybody until Jesus was died and was raised from the dead. So their spirits were actually, death was lodged in there. God was not in there with them. So he could not deal with them from the inside out. He had to deal with them with natural things. He could not direct them and lead them by their spirits. He had to use natural outside things to get their attention. He had to use burning bushes, and he had to send manifestations of angels into the earth. He had to do something out here to get their attention, to prove to them that he was talking to them and that he's going to do certain things for them. But now that we are born again, living in the new covenant with God on the inside of us, God will no longer wink at this. In other words, God will no longer tolerate this anymore, because now you have something on the inside of you that Gideon and the Old Testament people did not have. You have the Spirit of God, God himself living on the inside of you, and God expects for you to pick up on what's going on inside of you and be led by the Spirit that dwells in you and not some outward sign. Okay? So if you're in here this morning and you're putting out what the Bible is referred to, if you're putting out these fleece, you're asking God to give me this sign and show me this and open that door, or let this happen, or don't let that happen, or the bird flew over, or all these different things that you got to have out here before you can obey God, you're in error. And God is no longer tolerating this type of error in the lives of a believer anymore. Now, not only is it error, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Now, what I want to look at today is, we're going to go through here, and I want you to see that God does not lead his people by outward manifestations or outward signs. The only sign you need to believe God is what comes up out of your spirit. If you get the little nudging in your spirit to respond to God, respond. If you hear the soft, still voice of the Spirit of God say, don't do something, don't do it. Don't say, well, Lord, if that's you really talking to me, then you shut the door. God, what if he don't shut the door? Then God don't need to shut the door for you to obey him. Just do what the Spirit of God said do. Now, so we see Gideon here put these out, and this was his proof that God was going to do for him what he said he was going to do. And the only way that he could trust God was to have some outward manifestation proving it. But that was okay to a certain extent for this particular era of time, because he had no other way of gaining that kind of information. Notice, Gideon was not a king. He was not a priest, and he was not a prophet. And the Bible said the Spirit of God rest upon the kings, priests, and prophets. He wasn't either of those. None of those. So he had to have something from God, and God gave it to him. But I'm here to tell you this morning, this is not the proper operation anymore. Now, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I know this is messing with some of you this morning, because I know a lot of you in here have done this or are doing this. But the reason that I'm bringing it out now is for you to stop. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." It did not say for as many as are led by an outward sign. It didn't say as many as are led by God proving something to you by making something else happen. It says that they that are led by the Spirit of God. So it is the Spirit of God that's going to do the leading, not some outward manifestation. All right? You don't need an outward manifestation to find out what God is saying to you. You need the Spirit of God speaking to you from the inside out. Now, let's also look at John chapter 16. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now, John chapter 16, and I want to read verse 13 from the Amplified Bible. And it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth." Now, what is truth? Well, we know from the scriptures that St. John chapter 17 and verse 17 says, "Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth." So when he, the Spirit of the Word, the Spirit of the Word of God, the word-giving Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak of his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare and disclose things that will come to pass or things that's going to happen in the future to you. Now, nowhere in any of these scriptures that we've just read did it say anywhere that God was going to prove to you that he's talking to you by some outward manifestation. Where did the Spirit of God come? He came where? In you. So if he came in you, then he's doing his leading and his guiding from within you, not from without here. My goal this morning is to get you to stop waiting on something out here to happen before you can believe God. Start learning how to listen to the voice of your spirit and listen to the Spirit of God down the inside of you and follow his leadings and live life the way that he says you're supposed to live good by following him and taking the path that he's prearranged and made ready for you to take. Stop this, Lord, shut this door. Lord, open this door. And if it be your will, and if it, stop all that mess. You're supposed to know. Talking about if it be your will, let this. And if it be, you should know what his will is. You got a book sitting in your lap that tells you what his will is. How come you don't know? Now, so the Spirit of God is going to lead you. He came in. He's in you. He's going to lead you from within. You don't need you're not like Gideon. You don't need for the Lord to prove to you that he's going to do this. If he said he was, if you can find it in this book that he's promised he's going to do it, that is us. You can take it to the bank. It's already done. That's all the more proof that you need. Now, after you find it in this book, and you see where God says this is a promise that he's made to you. Once you find it, now your responsibility now is to plug that into your heart, plug it into your mind, and listen for the voice of the Lord as he leads you into that promise. Not talking about, well, Lord, prove to me that you're going to do this. Let the bird fly over my car as I come around the corner. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know what? This is a darn good lesson. And I thank God for it. It's blessing me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Now, that word sight there doesn't just mean by what you can physically see. See, the Amplified Bible says about we walk by faith and not by what appears. So this scripture here is referring to you're supposed to walk by the spirit of the word and not by some physical outward manifestation that you can see, feel, hear, taste, or touch. Your physical senses. If you can see it, if you can hear it, if you can feel it, taste it, and touch it, you can change it. It can be changed. It can be manipulated. And the Bible didn't tell you to wait until you can physically see something before you can believe it. It says, get the faith on it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Get the word of God on it. Believe that and quit believing what you see. So what your body is telling you, it don't feel well. That's in the sense realm. Change it. Get some faith. Well, Lord, if you're really going to heal me, when I go down here to the doctor today, you let them say this. What? He already don't say what need to be said about that. What other word do you need? You see how we've been missing God by waiting for some outward manifestation to show up before we can believe him? And it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. We're going to see this here as we go a little bit further. I don't want you living this way. Your victory is on the inside of you. It's not out here in this physical realm. It's down the inside of you. Everything you need to succeed came in when the Spirit of God came in. The problem is we have not yielded to it. We're still moved, governed, and controlled by what goes on in the natural. Because we have not taken the time to retrain ourselves to be inside minded. All right. So we walk by the spirit of the word, which where our faith comes from. And we don't walk by what the sense realm is telling us. You got to get that together in your mind. So if we are to walk by faith and not by sight, then fleecing would be doubt and unbelief. Would that be true? If God said, I promise to do this for you, and you tell God, well, if you're going to do this, prove this by doing this, then that means you really didn't believe him when he said it. Wouldn't that be true? Now, if God said, I'm going to do this for you, says, glory to God, and I thank you for it, and I believe I receive that. Now you're walking in faith. Now all you got to do is just let that faith continue to grow and build. And it will grow, and it'll build, and it'll grow, and it'll build, and it'll grow, and it'll build. And now the scripture says, now faith becomes what? The substance or the building materials for the thing that you're hoping for. Your faith will build it for you. But when you got to get God to do, God, you got to give me 15 other signs to show me that this is true before I even consider believing it, then you're going to always be living in a life of defeat and Satan's going to dominate you and run you. Now, I didn't say you're going to go to hell. You're not going to go to hell because you're born again. You're going to heaven, but you're going to live defeated every single day of your life down here. He will steal, kill, and destroy everything you have in this earth. And you will die and go to heaven broke, sick, before your time, never accomplished your mandate that God has on your life. Never touched anybody else. Because every time God said do something, you need 16 signs before you can believe it. Now, let me stop here. I'm not bringing condemnation upon anyone about this. I'm trying to show you error in this. Now, what if the Lord says, do something, I'll show you the difference between, well, Lord, I can't do it until you prove it. That's doubt and unbelief. Here's the other side of this coin. All right, Father, now I hear you saying that to me. And I believe you. And I'm willing to do this thing. Now, but you're going to have to help me conceive this on the inside. Now, that's a whole different operation, and God will meet you with that. Because you haven't gotten out of faith. You're still in faith, and that's you're leaning on the scripture. If you be willing and obedient, Father, I'm willing to do this, and I want to do this. Now, help me, show me how to get it, build me in this, and get me in this, and we'll get it done. That's a whole lot different than saying, well, you got to prove to me. God don't have to prove nothing to you. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ should be enough proof to get anything else done that you ever need to get done. Now, you may need to grow your faith in the area to do some things, but like I just said, God will meet you on that because that is a part of the operation of the Spirit of God on the inside of you to help grow and develop your faith. Jesus says, I am the author, that means the source, and the finisher, that means the person that brings you to development of your faith. So yeah, I can do that. I can ask God to help me in this area. And he's already told you how to do it. You do it through confessions and meditation and praying in the Holy Ghost. When the Spirit of God gives you something to do, building up yourself on your most holy faith, stirring up your faith, developing your faith, getting stronger in that thing, praying where? How? In the Holy Ghost. So yeah, it may be a little big for you to conceive right away, but take that thing, plant that thing in your heart and pray in the Holy Ghost a little while on it. And it'll get big enough in there to you say, oh yeah, we can do this. Instead of saying, well, Lord, I need a sign. When I go to work tomorrow, let my boss do this. Now, so that would make fleecing a form of doubt and unbelief. And we are not supposed to function in doubt and unbelief. What happens when you are in doubt and unbelief? Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Well, let's start with chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you hear his voice. Now, this hear his voice encompasses all of his leadings, whether it's the inward witness, whether it's the soft, still voice of your conscience, or where is his voice speaking to you. The day that you are aware that you're picking up on the leading of the Holy Spirit, it says, harden not your heart. What does it mean to harden your heart? Quit playing like you don't hear him. Quit acting like he's not talking to you. If the Holy Spirit nudges you to stop, stop. Don't play like you don't hear him say stop. Just stop. He's not trying to take anything from you. Here's what we're going to have to get in our minds as born again believers. God loves us and he is not trying to harm us. And if he says stop, it's for your benefit and it's for your good. Because obviously down the road, there's destruction waiting on you. And God speaks to every last single one of us. God speaks to every single person on the face of this earth. Now, everybody don't pay him attention. The unsaved really don't pay him attention most of the time. And it's sad to say that a lot of his own sons and daughters won't listen to him. But he speaks. So it says, don't harden your heart. Now, notice verse 10. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation. What generation? The one that would harden their heart and not listen. So if you are the one hardening your heart and won't listen, he's grieved with you too. Now, he's not mad or angry. It didn't say he was angry. He said he was grieved. What's the difference? Being mad and angry means I'm holding something against you. Grieved means I'm trying to help you, and I see this trouble coming your way, and I'm trying to help you, and you won't let me. And it causes this, I don't want to call it sadness, but it's what it says. It's a grieving feeling to know that you have the capabilities of helping someone, and you know how to help them, and they won't let you. So he says, I was grieved with that generation. Why? Because they always err in their heart and they don't know my ways. So what is the error? Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief, causing you to depart from the living God. Fleecing is error. It is unbelief, and it's going to lead you away from God instead of in the way of God. See, it started out saying that when the Holy Ghost is talking, don't harden your heart against him. And then go and believe some outward manifestation, some outward sign, and be led by that. See, the Holy Spirit was trying to lead you in the way of the Lord. That unbelief is going to lead you away. And God says he's grieved with those kind of people. Look at verse 18. I want to read verse 18 from the Amplified Bible. And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who disobeyed, who had not listened to his word, and who refused to be compliant or be persuaded? All right, so here's what your unbelief is going to get you. No rest, because you won't allow it to persuade you to follow God. So we see that they were not able to enter into his rest. Why? Because of their unwillingness to adhere to and trust in and rely upon God, their unbelief shut them out. Shut them out to what? The promise, that's the rest that the promise provides. God promised to give it to you. All he said for you to do is believe it. But no, I can't just believe that, Pastor. So you don't understand. I got to have some proof. I got to have a sign. I'm going to put me out of fleece. All right. That unbelief's getting ready to shut you out. It's error. The rest that you're looking for, you're not going to find it on that road, because that road leads to destruction and it's a lot of heartache and pain on the way. So if that's what you want to keep doing, then go ahead on and get prepared. You're going to be a sad individual and you're going to have a whole lot of trouble. Remember the scripture we read in Proverbs. If you want to see long life, good days, and peace, adhere to the word. What's so hard about that? This is the easiest life to live when you really live it right. It's easy to do. This is the easiest life this is the easiest one to do, because God already laid it out there for you to follow. Everything else is trial and error. The Bible says the word of the Lord has already been tried and tested. It's a sure foundation. Just do it. So, if you're still trying to live life the way Gideon lived his life, you're in error. You're not going to succeed that way. Now let's look at Romans, go back to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at a few things here. Now I want to show you why this is dangerous. Let's get into looking at why this is dangerous. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now here, when we're talking about the word flesh, we're talking about the five physical senses here. It's not talking about your body. It's talking about being led by that sense realm. So what it's dealing with here. And in particular, when you're reading through the New Testament and you come across the word flesh, carnal minded, they're talking about the sense realm, unless it says flesh and it is directly pertaining to the body as you read in the context. But if it's not directly pertaining to the physical body, it's talking about the carnal mindset that is governed by the five physical sense realm that you're not supposed to be following. Okay? So it says here, verse once again, for they that are after the sense realm do mind or pay attention to the things of the sense realm. But they that are after the spirit, the things that are of the spirit. So if you're being led by your senses, then you're going to be governed by the senses. But if you're being led by the Spirit, then you're going to be governed by what's going on with the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnal minded, same thing, sense minded is what? Death. Now, this doesn't mean you're going to die. The word death here is talking about being separated from God. So to be carnal minded, to follow the sense realm, is to be separated from God. Why? I just read it for you in Hebrews. It's error, and it is going to lead you away from God. So it's error. And it says, if that's what you're focused on, if that's your focus, and that's what you need to get through life, then you're going to be separated from God. Or you're going to be separated from the promises that God has made to you. Is basically what it's saying there. You're going to be separated from healing. You're going to be separated from prosperity. You're going to be separated from peace. You're going to be separated from joy. You're going to be separated from deliverance. Why? Because you're looking at everything else other than looking to God. Here's why. Verse 7. Because the carnal mindset, the sense mindset, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. It goes away. Unbelief goes opposite of God, not in line with God. You'll never, if you are paying attention to everything else that's happening in your life, rather than what God is saying to you, you are never going to ever see it the way God says it is. Therefore, you will never call it the way God says call it. And therefore, you will never have it the way God says you're supposed to have. It didn't say call those things that are as though they are. You already got enough of that. You want to change it, says call those things that be not as though they were. But untrained people who don't pay attention to the things of God, they are constantly saying what it is. If you wake up and your back hurts, the first thing out your mouth, my back's killing me. All right, you're going to get more of that. Girl, I'm broke. All right, you're going to get more, I'm broke. Verse 8. So then they that are of the physical sense mindset cannot please God. Why? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you're being governed by your senses or what some outward sign is saying, you're not in faith. So how can you please God? Are you following the picture I'm trying to paint here? I'm trying to make it very simple. Because too many of God's people have been living in error, and you're wondering, well, I asked God for that sign and it happened, but it still didn't work out right. I'm going to tell you right now, in this day and time, 99.99.999% of the time, it's not going to work out right. And I'm going to tell you why in a few minutes here. Well, I can tell you right now, number one reason is because you didn't do it by faith. You didn't believe God. So, you don't need a fleece before you can believe. Don't you ever pray again, Father, if you don't want me to go through there, shut the door. Don't you ever pray it again, well, let this happen, Lord. You know, let nothing happen. What did the Word of God say to you? Take that going to prayer and then listen inside for the voice of the Spirit that's going to lead you in the way that you should go. Stop waiting for something out here to happen before you can believe God. Don't do it anymore. Stop praying and asking God to do that for you, because you're asking. I'm going to tell you right now. You keep on doing that and you are going to eventually get a God to answer you. Yeah, it won't be Jehovah. Because he operates by faith. But a God will eventually oblige you on that. Look here at Ephesians chapter 2. You keep on functioning that way. You keep on acting like that, not trusting God. Keep asking for some outward sign before you can believe God to do something for you. You keep on doing that, you're going to back yourself into a corner. And you're going to find out real quick that you're not in the place that you desire to be. Now, here's why. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 2. It says, "Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world." We all walked according to the course of this world. That's why the scripture says, "Be not conformed any longer to the course of this world." Get off that course. "You walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." The Amplified Bible says, "At which at one time you walked habitually, you were following the course and fashion of this world, were under the sway and tendencies of the present age." You should no longer be up under those sways and tendencies anymore. If those sways and tendencies are still pulling on you, then you are focused on the wrong thing. I'm telling you the truth, folks. Hey, if you are born again up in here and God is in you, then you are not be governed by what used to govern you. That stuff ought to be dying off and dead and gone. If you still are, that means you're still feeding it. You got it on life support. Because another scripture over in Colossians says, "So kill and deaden those animal instincts and appetites that dwell on the inside of you." Kill them. How do you kill something? Stop feeding it. It'll die. So if it's still in there and you still is messing around with it and it's pulling and tugging on you, that means you're giving it a good diet of your obedience to it every single day, and it's just as strong as it can be. In other words, it's for most of you, if you feeding it all the time, it's stronger than your spirit man, because you won't feed him. You come here on Tuesday and Sunday and think, I fed my spirit. How many of you guys can live on Twinkies and cupcakes or you eat once or twice a week and that's it? Let me see the hand of somebody. I ate on Monday and it's Sunday. Now, you ate good last night, didn't you? All day and into the night. And as soon as I get through, some of y'all probably wishing I hurry up so you can go eat again. It's the truth. It says you were following the course of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were under the control and obedient to the demon spirit. Now notice, the prince of the power of the air is a demon spirit. What's his name? Satan. Now here's what I want you to see. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. Now, air is in what realm? Come on, let your mind go to the top. It's in the physical, sense realm, right? So he is the prince of the physical realm. All that means is he has the ability to manipulate it. That's why you can take off and, ooh, this is nice and sunny. And then, let's use the Bible. Let's go to the other side. When they took off, it was nice and sunny. Get out in the middle of the lake. Here comes this violent storm. Where it come from? Because when you go back and read that story, it was a manipulation. Satan was trying to kill him. That's why Jesus went out there and used his face. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Actually, what that scripture says he did, when you look in the Greek, it says he went out and about a boat. He did this. Hush. Told the story. Hush. Set it back down. Now, peace be still. Because it was a violation. It was in the natural realm. Satan was manipulating it. And just like if Satan can manipulate it, with you as a higher authority can change it too. Just like Jesus did. But here's why you don't need an outward sign before you can believe God. Because if you're waiting on outward signs, you're over in the area where he operates. And he's a master of deception. The Bible said he is a liar and the father of lies. You will never outwhip him in his arena. So every time you ask God for a sign, that's why I said you eventually will get a sign, but it won't be from Jehovah. It won't be from Satan because you in his realm. He controls that. That's why when you, how many of you don't sit up in here and ask God, if this is you, Father, let this happen. And then it happened and it still didn't turn out right. You ask him the wrong thing. Father, if this is you on the inside of me, glory to God. Holy Spirit, show me where that is in the word. He'll lead and guide into all truth. He'll show it to you. All right. Then that's what it is. It's done. I don't need anybody else to come tell me anything else. I don't need to hear it anymore. Once I find it in the book, that settles it. Does God want you poor? Go in the book. What did it say? It says, hey, the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich. Okay, that settles it. Pours out. I'm supposed to be rich. Now, thank you, Lord. All you prosperity people up in here. I tithe and sowed my seed. Good. But I keep trying to get you to understand you cannot separate out and do pieces of the word of God. The word of God is a lifestyle. I sow my seeds and pay my tithes and do all my stuff, make my right confessions. But then in natural matters, I'm not obeying the word of God. Now, I'm getting ready to say this because the Holy Spirit got on me about this and he just brought it up. So I'm going to say it. You cannot expect to prosper financially and you're not obeying the natural laws. Now, here's what I'm getting ready to say about this. Yes, I tithe. Yes, I sow my seed. And I pray and God opens up the door and gives me a good job. Now I'm in a good job. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Now I have to also obey all the rules. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. I like the book of Ephesians. It is a complete book from start to finish. Oh, it tells you, you can find answers to every area in your life in the book of Ephesians. Now, I've tithed, I've sown, I'm honoring God, he's got me employed. I still have to adhere to this piece too. Servants, verse 5. Employees. That's what a servant is. Employees, be obedient to them that are your supervisors or managers according to the flesh. With fear, that means reverence, and trembling, that means respect them. In singleness of heart unto them. Did it say unto them? No. Who did it say do it to? Christ. He the one got you in there. So hell you think you are. I'm going to do what I want to do. Whoa. The rule book right here, the law, the word of God just said, be obedient to your management. Let's keep reading because it gets better. I know I'm off. No, I'm not off. In my Holy Spirit. No, we're still talking about being led by the Spirit of God. Verse 6, rather, because it gets better. Not with eye service. Somebody got to stand there and watch everything you do. Let me make sure that you're doing your, did you cross that T? Okay, make sure you cross that I. Come on, if they don't told you cross the T and dot the I once, you as a child of God, full of the Holy Spirit, who's able to lead and guide you to all truth, the next time you came to that T, it ought to be crossed already. Not with eye service. Just only doing it when somebody's looking. as men pleasers, but as a servant unto Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. So obeying management is the will of God as far as you're concerned. So how are you going to talk about, I'm going to prosper and I'm sowing my seeds and I'm tithing, but you're still violating the will of God concerning the laws of prosperity? That's still a law of prosperity. Verse 7. With good will doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men. You're not there working for that boss. You're there because God got you there. I'm going to tell you right now, born again employees, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit employees ought to be some of, they ought not some, they ought to be the best employees on every job. You ought to be the ones that your boss, I ain't ever got to say nothing to them. I don't have to talk to them. I don't have to. They just come in here. They say, oh God, if I just had 10 more just like them. Am I making that up? Huh? No, I'm reading that out of the book, right? Let's keep on going. Knowing, see, here's what you don't know. This is why I'm reading it. This must be all the Holy Spirit wanted read, because this is what you don't know. And when the Bible says the lack of knowledge does what? It brings about destruction in your life. My children are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You mess around and end up with no job. Well, Lord, the devil and Satan, I rebuke you. And the devil had nothing to do with none of that. That was you. Don't talk to the devil. You did that. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth. Remember, we're still talking about doing right on your job. The same shall ye receive of the Lord, whether you are the employee or whether you're not, bond or free. And then it also tells the bosses what they're supposed to do. They got something to do with that thing too. Now, here's why. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, you're going to reap it. So keep on sowing that mess, doing dumb things. The ball's got to come hunt you down and all the other foolishness. Guess what you're going to be reaping? No prosperity. All right. Thank you for that little rabbit trail, Holy Spirit. Back over here now. So, and that's right in line with the teaching. You don't need somebody come hunting you down all over your back to get you to do your job. That's an outward sign. Now you got scripture. What you going to do with it? What you going to do with that? You're going to do something with it. Because you can't pretend like you don't know it anymore. So now, what do you do? How do you get out of this? I need a sign. You trust and believe God and you do what James chapter 1 verse 5 says. It says that verse 5 and 6 in there. It says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to every man liberally. That means God will get, hey, if you ask him, he will give it all to you. And it says, and abradeth not. What is that word, abradeth not? He will give it to you without finding fault. He's not going to nitpick you. Remember last week when I was trying to lead you and you didn't want to listen to me last week? So I ain't telling you nothing this week. See, God don't operate that way. God knows the reason that you've been in error is because you haven't been listening, because you didn't have any wisdom. You didn't know anything. So why wouldn't he want to teach you some things so that you can get in line with him? God wants you to enjoy life, and any information you need to enjoy life, he's willing to give it to you. That's why the scripture says that if you don't know how to pray. Likewise, he also helpeth our infirmities. When we pray in the Holy Ghost, and then you go on and says, and we talked about this, and your spirit in partnership with the Holy Spirit, but your spirit goes to work, searching all the deep revelations of God, searching all the wisdom of God, and finds the answer for your question that you asked him, and sends it up to you. Come on, folks. God is running this. Let him. You don't need an outward sign. Quit putting out your fleece. Put them up. Matter of fact, burn them. Get rid of them. You don't need them anymore. You're going to trust God. Come on. Find you somebody to look at and say, hey, I'm done with that kind of living. I'm just going to trust God. Oh, yeah, I don't look too convinced. Find somebody and tell them, see, you better put them up. You better turn somebody and say, look, hey, look. I'm done with that kind of living. You're going to get in trouble behind it. All right? Dump it. Let it go. Now, God also leads us. Well, the Spirit of God also has a voice. All right? Now, right here, next 20 minutes here, 15, 20 minutes, I want to show you the voice of the Spirit of God, how they differ, how it differs from the voice of your spirit. All right. And then I'll give you an example and we'll be done with this. Let's just look at a few scriptures here. Now, hold on. Before I move on, are we straight now when it comes to this fleecing and these outward manifest? I need an outward sign before I can believe God. Can we move on now? All right. We don't need those anymore. You need God, and you need to listen to what he's saying to you on the inside. Now, look at 2 Samuel chapter 22. Verse 14 says, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High utters his voice. All right. Now, I'm going to paint you a picture here. The Lord thunders from heaven. The Most High utters his voice. So at the comparison between the voice of the Most High and thunder. Psalms chapter 29. Psalms chapter 29, verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty, authority. It's powerful, full of authority and power. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 12. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Now, here's the difference between your spirit, the voice of your spirit, your conscience, which is that soft, still, quiet voice that you hear. The difference between the voice of your spirit and God, when the Spirit of God talks, it's with power and authority. You will know it. Notice Ezekiel says, I heard a voice behind me. Now, the reason that it says behind me is significant because it's pointing to the place of the voice of the Lord is so powerful and so distinct and strong. It sounds audible as if someone's actually standing here talking to you. It's as if you heard it with your natural ears. And the voice of the Lord could speak to you that powerfully and you heard it that way. He'd be like, who said that? Did you hear that? Nobody else heard it. Usually when God talks to you this way, he's trying to alter some things because it's of intense and high importance that you get this, because this could either set the tone for your life in the way of God, or maybe a destruction, or it's just he needs your attention right away. Okay. Now, here's the example that I was going to give. Before we started this church, I was working at Salvation Army in their child care department. And this particular day, we went on a trip. We went to Petco and we went to the park. So they had their own. I was driving a passenger van, and we had our kids in the passenger van. So while we were gone, I guess there was a big water main break in the area that we were in, and the whole area water went down. And anyone that works with children know when the water goes down in a place, they got to shut it down because you can't be there. It's part of the laws. You got to have water. So they had been trying to reach us to let us know that they were shutting the place down and we need to hurry up and get back with the children. But we hadn't got the message yet. So, because I don't think we had our phones with us or phones on. I forgot what it was. We didn't get the message anyway. So we pulls up in front of the Salvation Army, and I'm like, God, look at all these cars. Why are these people here? And I'm looking at my watch. There's nowhere time to go. I'm not realizing what has happened just yet. So I get out of the van, and I'm telling the parents, they were mad because they had been there for a while. They rushing up. Now, proper protocol is you let us take our kids inside, count our kids, get our stuff right, and then we can dismiss them because we want you to sign out and all that kind of good stuff. Well, you know, parents get ignorant. They snatching their kids as we get out the van, just taking them and running and leaving. And I got an assistant with me, but I'm responsible because I'm the head teacher. So I'm trying to get kids off the van and trying to see who's leaving and trying to get a mental thing in my mind. I'm trying to do all this in my mind and keep up with everybody. So finally, you know, stuff's going on. We didn't even get to the parking lot. I put up in front on the street. We on the street. This is happening right in front of the place. So finally, you know, I got everybody off the van. And so I hurry up, pull the van around the thing and park it in the parking lot because I got to get inside because I'm looking at all this stuff going on. Where are all my kids going? I got to know where they are, because if somebody asks me a question, I got to be able to answer that question. You know, they don't want to hear, I don't know. So I did all that, and I get inside, and I'm trying to get where all of I'm finding all my kids. I'm trying to get them all in one place, who's gone, who's still here, whatever, whatever. So finally, a parent shows up and asks for her son. And I'm like, okay, well, where is he at? So we start looking around for him. We couldn't find him, and it hit me. Right, I heard it inside. He's in the van. I had left that boy in his seat in the van. He was probably out there. He was asleep when I got there. So he was probably out there about like 10 minutes, sleep in his seat in the van. And I knew it. In here. Went out there and got him, brought him in. Mom mad, everybody mad. Hey, there's a lot going on. So I go into the boss at the end of the day, say, look, the boy got left on the van. It was so much going on. I missed it. Oh, here's my boss. Oh, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it tomorrow. You know, stuff happens. It was a busy day. It was a, you know, chaotic day. I went home. Your boss tell you something like that, it's done, right? I went home. Rest of my day, got into bed, went to sleep. About 12:30, 1 o'clock, somewhere right in there, this is what I heard. Marlon! I woke up out of my sleep. I looked over, Quantrell sound asleep. It's quiet in the house. That's just how strong that voice was that called my name and woke me up out of my sleep. Startled me. And when I saw she was asleep and the kids, wasn't nobody up, because the kids ain't going to call me Marlon, they're going to call me Daddy. I got up. Oh, I automatically know had something going on. Because when the Spirit of God talks to you, that strokes, hey, that's the voice of the Spirit of God woke me up out of my sleep. And I immediately got up and went downstairs in the basement, because that's where our family room at the time was, and began to pray. Because I knew what was going on. See, I tell you all the time, God does things to get your attention, but if you don't, I could have been like, oh, well, what the heck? I don't know. Maybe I was just dreaming and went on back to sleep. But no, I went and prayed. When I got downstairs and started praying, now the voice of my spirit kicks in. That soft, quiet voice kicks in now. And I begin to hear come up on the inside of me. I'm trying to remember what I heard. He said, some things are going to come up tomorrow. I've taken care of it. Don't lose your head over it. I believe something to that order. That's all he said. So here I go in my lightning fast mind. I start trying to pray for the kids, pray for Quantrill, pray for her. I'm just praying. I'm just going down my mental Rolodex list, praying for everything, trying to get it all lined out and pray it all out right and make sure I got everybody covered in the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against. I done went through the whole thing. By another 2 hours, I went past now, and I'm thinking, okay, I got it covered. So I go back upstairs, and I get in my bed and went back to sleep. Got up the next day, went on to work. I kind of forgot about it. I'm sitting in my room. They knock on my door and said, the boss wants to see you. Okay. I thought she had some more questions about what happened yesterday. This is a done deal. So I get up, walk on in there, whatever. So when I come through the door, she's sitting behind her desk. There's a man sitting over here in the chair, and there's a chair for me. I'm still not paying attention. I'm like, I sit down. She says, well, no, remember that situation happened yesterday? You left that kid in that van. I said, yeah. And I could tell how her voice is going. This is not going right. She says, well, this guy right here is from DFS. You've been hotlined. We have hotlined you, and they're here to do an investigation. Whoa. This just hit. Whoa. Is this the same woman yesterday saying everything's good? I'm like, whoa, my whole world starts spinning. Because now, at this point, I probably have been doing this now for probably 16, 17 years, been to school. This is where my career is. And you talking about ending my career with this man sitting here. I'm like, whoa. And so the man got to ask me all kind of questions, and all kind of stuff started going on the inside. And I'm like, oh, my God. Now my mind's just. I got up, walked out the office in a daze, went back to my room and sat down. The kids were at nap time, so it was quiet. I'm just sitting there. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to take care of it. Don't lose your cool over it. Don't lose your head over it. Now. It took 30 days for the investigation. You know, the only thing that kept me sane for those 30 days and not losing my mind was what the Lord told me that night when he woke me up. 30 days came and went. They sent me a letter from Division of Family Services and says, hey, we can't substantiate any of this. No fault on your part. This case is dismissed. You're done. Nothing. No marks. You're done. They sent me that letter. Sent the same letter to them, to Salvation Army. Devil. Yeah, we know that's what they said, but we're terminating your employment anyway. Okay. See, but I got God's leading me. I said, okay. This Salvation Army was right up on 39th and whatever that is up there on 39th Main, right off of Main, whatever. I said, okay. They terminated my plan. I said, okay. I walked right out there, got in my car, went around the corner back to where I used to work at Penn Valley. Went there, talked to my boss at Penn Valley, had a job the same day making more money with less work. You ain't bothering me. I'm serving God. Now, what got me through all of that? Number one, the Holy Spirit woke me up out of my sleep. Merlin, get up. And I did not harden my heart and play like I didn't hear it. I got up and went and acknowledged him, and all that ways acknowledge him. And what did he do? Direct my path. And in acknowledging him and letting him direct my path, it kept peace on the inside of me. Last scripture. you need. I mean, when the Spirit of God speaks to you that powerful, he's trying to, and it's not an all the time thing. It's not an all the time thing. Colossians chapter 3. Let me read verse 15 from the Amplified Bible. It says, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ. So let the peace, that soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continuously in your heart, deciding and settling with finality, all questions that arise in your mind, in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise unto God. Notice what the Holy Spirit did for me that night. I had now, in them 30 days, I had to fight the good fight of faith to keep that peace in my mind. When the devil would try to tell me, I'm going to end your career, you and your family are going to be poor, your mortgage is going to flop, and he just was hitting me with all kind of stuff. I kept going back, no, the Lord told me, he's going to take care of this. He's with me. And I kept going back to the scripture. I kept going back to the word. And I let that peace just sit there, and that peace, you know. And I'm not saying I was just perfect every single day. No, I was fighting. It was a fight. Fight the good fight of faith to lay hold on what God had promised me. And I fought it in my mind. And some days I lost. But I didn't quit. I kept letting the peace of God come back up and settle it. Okay, God said. What does an umpire do? An umpire stands behind home plate and decides whether or not the ball is in or out. That's what God is saying. Let peace in here. If it's God, the peace is going to be in here. That's in. If it's not God, you're not going to have peace in your heart. That's the umpire saying, that's out. Get back over where the peace is. People, God loves you. And if you'll just learn how to flow with him, you'll win. You'll win. I won. Went right around the corner. Because everybody know what that Salvation Army is. No, the Penn Valley is less than a 2-minute drive right around the corner. Went in there, talked to my boss. I went in there and said, hey, you guys, I said, you know, we're just talking. I said, hey, I need a job. She says, Marlon, now I had worked there before. And back to what I was saying earlier, I had worked there before, and I was an exceptional employee. Back to what I said earlier. She says, Marlon, you always got something going on. Boy, I don't know if I want to hire you back here because you ain't going to stay because you always got something. I said, Linda, look, I need a job. She says, all right. And she hired me. Brought me right back in there. Matter of fact, she called Human Resources and says, I'm sending somebody over there. Can you take the application? And they're going to start tomorrow. I hadn't even filled out the application. She said, can you take the application? And they're going to start tomorrow. 4-day work week instead of a 5. I had Monday off. I think about $3 or $4 more than what I was making in the Salvation Army. No stress. Everybody there loved me. I loved it. I enjoyed working with everybody there. Why am I going to sit over here and cry about, oh, they won't give my job back, and I'm going to sue y'all demons, and I thought about that. But that was a waste of my time. So I went on back over there and did what the Lord told me to do, got a job, and kept right on rolling with God. Then God let me work there for, I think it was about another year. Year went past. And then one day, I went up to my child's school to talk to them about his cutting up. Sitting there talking to the principal of the school, and you know, we were good friends. She liked me because I had been volunteering helping coach basketball there. And out of clear blue, now I'm sitting here talking about disciplinary stuff with my kid. Out of clear blue, when are you gonna come over here and work for me? I'm gonna come over here and work for you. Where'd that come from? Well, I just don't think I can pay you enough. She said, do you mind me asking how much you make? And I said, no. I told her how much I make. I ain't ashamed. That's how much I make. She says, that's all. She says, I can pay. She says, I can beat that. And she told me how much she would pay me. I said, I'll tell you what. Because you don't lose your head and just, woohoo, oh, good. Nah, I said, this is what we're going to do. I got to go out of town to a minister's conference. Let me pray about it. And I'll call you back on Monday. Went out of town at the minister's conference, sitting in the conference, enjoying the word. Lord, is this what I'm supposed to do? Let me know. Because I'll stay at Penn Valley. Just let me know. He says, no, take the job. Got back to Kansas City, called her and said, I need 2 weeks and I'll be there. She says, fine. Because you just don't dog out the other job. I need 2 weeks. Did my 2 weeks. Thank God Linda wasn't a boss no more because she couldn't fuss at me for leaving this time. She had moved on to do something else. So I went on the left, went over to University Academy, started working. Was at University Academy probably 1 year. And then someone called me from that I work with in Penn Valley. Said, did you know they closed the place down? I said, they closed it down? She said, yeah. Now, nobody knew that that place was folding. God did. God knew. Because the guy was stealing money, doing all kind of underhanded stuff. When I left, it was, hey, they was trying to expand, do other stuff. God knew it was folding. Got his kid out of there. Over here making, once again, more money, less work. And then I find out that this place shut down, folded, and closed, and is still closed today. Come on, people. Following God. Just being led by God through life and enjoying God. God is good, all right? God is good. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to teach your word. Father, just fellowship with your word. We honor you this morning. We thank you for being such a glorious God. Thank you for your spirit that's alive on the inside of you. Teach us your word, and we'll respond to it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.